Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com and our expository study of the Gospel of Luke. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the Gospel of Luke. This is part one of two.
Our current events update. There's a lot that we could talk about this morning just in what's going on, but I want to begin with an official response to this story sent to me by several concerned viewers. One was on our MeWe, actually a couple of people on MeWe sent to me, a couple others sent to me in emails, and this is a serious business, but it needs addressed. Too much candy. Man dies from eating bags of black licorice. There's some folks. Well, it's been a while, so it's not too soon. You can laugh. But folks concerned about, you know, my black licorice intake. And my wife is my witness that I am very measured in the amount that, yeah, what's the word? Well, moderate. Let your moderation be known unto all men, so I'm letting you all know. But that looks really good. Some black licorice contains glycyrrhizin, I believe is how it's pronounced, which is the sweetener derived from licorice root. It can create imbalances in electrolytes and low potassium levels, according to the FDA, as well as high blood pressure, swelling, lethargy, and heart failure. Just a little bit. Now, for the record, I was like that before I ate black licorice. So. I'm just kidding. But the point of the story should be that you don't eat 1.5 bags every day for 2 weeks. That's what this guy did. And he had switched from red, which isn't really licorice, to black licorice. And he ate 1.5 bags for 2 weeks, and he had other issues. The point is, black licorice matters. Amen. And that is the real BLM movement. And so I just want you to rest assured, do not feel that you have to stop sending me black licorice. That is not necessary. but I do, I'm a snob, though. I'm a licorice snob. I don't like the high fructose corn syrup stuff, because that just doesn't even taste like real licorice. So make it real and keep it coming. Amen? Well, the Black Panda brand is one of the best. So if you see that, that's sold in most of the stores right now.
It's stocked up right now. You don't need it right now.
I'm down to a couple bags, I think. But we do want to approach one thing this morning, the COVID insanity. Amen. Don't let the facts get in the way, people. Aww. Just continue to freak out. Continue to ignore your pastor, by the way, some of you online and maybe a few of you, you know, watching the news and thinking you're getting the news. Just keep doing it. Just keep watching the propaganda and letting them freak you out. I mean, because that's what they want. They want you to stay glued to the TV so they get your ad revenue. The more of you are watching, the better the ad revenue. On the Internet, the more you click on those stories, every time you click, you go there, they get money. That's how they make their money. The numbers are clear. Oh, I'm sorry. This is actually factual. Warning. Warning. This is actual facts. COVID is no real threat to kids. The reason they're shutting down your schools is because they're a bunch of libtards who want Donald Trump to lose the election.
Yep, that's right.
Now, if you don't want to hear the truth, go somewhere else. I'm telling you the facts. They're shutting your schools down for political reasons. But listen, this is nothing new. The majority of public school teachers don't care about kids.
Right.
You're not allowed to say that, but I say it anyway.
Nine to five.
Most public school teachers are not there because they love the kids. Now, the kids know that.
Yeah.
When they go to the school, they can tell the teacher can't stand them. But you're supposed to have this religious aura around teachers. Now, there are good teachers. They are a minority. And the majority of those teachers belong to a union. National Education Association and the Federation for Public School Teachers. They are arms of the Democrat Party. They are there for their political purposes, not for your children. Kids, you should study and excel because that's good for you. It's good for whoever you marry and for your children. It's good for your life. But don't do so based on the fact your teacher loves you and your teacher cares about you. That's just not the reason. Listen, being in the ministry, if any of you think about going to the ministry, don't do it for people. Because most people don't give a flip about you. And most people don't listen to what you teach.
Amen.
Why am I up here? I'm up here because I love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love this book. And anybody who wants to listen and learn, I want to teach you.
Amen.
But the mass majority of people couldn't give a flip. That's why most people went to churches today where they knew they weren't going to hear things like this. And they knew they weren't going to get an expository Bible study.
Yep.
That's true. COVID is no threat to kids. So why would they shut down everything? The latest data on COVID-19 cases and fatalities from the CDC. This is not some conspiracy website. It's the CDC. And prevention, they add that word, that's bull. Confirm that young people face a negligible risk of dying from the disease. And the mass majority have no symptoms. That's fact. You'll be more likely to die and have a bad case of the flu. While people 65 and older face a much higher risk. See, if someone says COVID's not real and everything, they're idiots. Turn them off. But what's the reality of COVID? The reality is, if you're 65 and over, and especially if you have underlying conditions like diabetes and heart condition, a compromised immune system, you've had cancer and gone through chemo and radiation, those kind of things, then it's very dangerous. Everything is.
The flu is
dangerous to those people too. See, this is reality. You will not hear this on 6, 10, 4, 28, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, they will not tell you these things because they don't care about you. They care about you watching their program so they can get rich off of you. That latter group accounts for about 16% of confirmed cases and 4/5 of the deaths. 4 out of 5 people dying because of COVID are in that group. 1 out of 5 is not in that group, but even in that group, they're not talking about this, even in this article. The people under 65 dying, almost all have underlying conditions. So the point is that if you're under 65 and don't have underlying conditions, you should go about your business. The idea of shutting down sports for college, especially college and high school, is stupid. It's idiocy. There's Atlanta Falcon tested positive for COVID. He's the only one on the team. They couldn't say he had any symptoms. So you get COVID. Big deal. You got COVID and you got better. That's almost all the healthy people in this country. Think about that. All the under 65 healthy people in this country should go to work.
Amen.
They should still have the restaurants open.
Yeah.
And it is your responsibility, if you're over 65 or if you have underlying conditions, it's you, your responsibility to do what you need to do. But see, we're under the threat of communism in this country. Our government, and that includes a lot of rhino Republicans, want to control you. And that's what this is about. So under 65 at little risk, but it's horrible for those over 65. Well, there's another catch. This is from Real Clear Politics. You'll hear quoted on the news. When they like what they're saying, they'll quote them. COVID-19 death toll in the United States is inflated. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID-positive diagnosis. That means that if you were in hospice and had already been given a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, they would count you as a COVID death. And most of the time, it's because they made more money doing that. That's what Mark's saying back there. It means technically, even if you died of a clear alternative cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. They're a bunch of lying crooks.
Amen. Thank you.
Think about that test and these horses. Come on now.
Listen, it means this. It means that every time you see these headlines, COVID-19 live updates, world nears grim milestone of 1 million deaths, you're being lied to.
Right.
And that is a fact. I won't debate that with anybody. It's a fact. When you hear those inflated numbers on your news channel and you believe it, you're stupid. I love you enough to tell you to stop being stupid, Americans.
Amen. The liars
know their minds. Jerry? And it's funny how CNN only puts up the ticker for the world deaths and U.S. deaths every time they talk about COVID. But then they don't put it up when they're talking about the 11 riots or anything of that sort.
Yeah.
There, I don't know what's that going out there.
There is an agenda. And anybody who says otherwise is just a liar. No one's that stupid. No one's that stupid. They're a liar. I don't care if it's your spouse, those of you who are married. Those of you who have a mom and dad still alive. I don't care if it's your best friend, your brother. If they tell you that what they see on the news is true, they're not that stupid. They love lies. You know what you're dealing with. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." This isn't about just flesh and blood. These people are controlled by a foul spirit. This country, this world is under the control of a foul, lying spirit.
Amen.
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
That's the reality. Every time you turn on your news now, I can't tell you how far back in the past this all started, but right now, and by the way, Fox News is included.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, some Christians have the idea of Fox News. Tucker Carlson on Fox News, I give a thumbs up. There's a few others that I give a thumbs up. But Fox News, when they're on the news, it's crap.
Amen.
They are feeding you the same lies. And by the way, keep that in mind, that talking head on your TV, they're just reading a script.
Yeah.
Most of them are airheads.
Yeah.
Most of those people, if you talk to them, that's all that's going on in their head. They don't know anything. They're script readers. But the news channels are controlled. I say this before we move on, it will get interesting, but I'm just amazed at how many people who claim to be Christians means they should have the Spirit of God. If you're not saved, you're supposed to be dumb.
Yeah.
If you're not saved, you don't have Jesus in you, you're supposed to be ignorant. That's, you're demonstrating your stupidity by rejecting salvation.
Yeah.
But if you're a Christian and have the Spirit of God in you, you're not supposed to be that stupid. And then harassing those of us who won't go along with your stupidity. It's, yeah, well, that's another issue too, but we're talking about Christians being stupid. One, the law is another matter that they, that we talk about another opportunity. We're going to be in Luke 8, 4 to 15, parable of the seed and sower. And, we'll pick up, like I said, verse 4. And we're going to break it into two readings. So we're going to start by reading Luke 8, 4 through 8. So let's just read the even verses, which means you start with me in verse 4. And we'll read verses 4 through 8. And when much people... Okay, some of you don't know what an even number is. The number 4 is an even number. So read with me, beginning of verse 4, and we'll read the even numbers through verse 8. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So this is not the same account, by the way. We studied verse by verse through the entire Gospel of Mark many moons ago. And in Mark 4, 1 to 20, Jesus taught the same thing, but he said some different things. He emphasized some different things. In that account, he was on a boat on the water. And in this account, there's no mention of that. And so that's why they don't read exactly the same. So we begin here in verse 4. And we're just going to look at the parable first, and then we're going to move on. Because these first 5 verses present the parable. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. So first we need to tackle that question, knowing that this is the first parable here in Luke. And a parable is a representation of something real in life or nature from which a moral is drawn for instruction. In other words, you tell a story in order to teach a truth.
Amen.
And the account can be what we might call fictitious, because your point isn't to present history. You're not presenting an historical fact. You're presenting the story to teach something factual. And that's important to understand, because there are times where cults will falsely call things Jesus is teaching a parable. And the reason they do that is because they don't like what he's teaching. For example, all the no-hellers, you ever heard of them? The people who teach that when you die, you don't go to hell. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, and others teach that stuff. They will tell you that when we get to Luke 16 and there's a story about the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell, they'll call that a parable. Well, and we'll discuss then why we know that's not a parable. It's right there in the text that teaches that. But that's not a parable. That's a true story. This is a parable, and so it's true, but it's a story. And we begin with a very simple, straightforward story in verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. So Jesus will interpret this to a degree beginning in verse 11. So we're not going to get into the interpretation yet. We just want to recognize there's a sower and sowing seed. Now, some of you have been raised in the city, and you might not know this, but your fruits and vegetables grow from plants. They don't grow in the grocery store. And so somebody has had to plant seeds, grow trees, and they have to take care of them, water them, irrigation, all that. They have to pluck them off the tree and pick them and all that kind of thing. That's where your food comes from. Okay, some of you are shocked right now, but that's really how it happens. So verse 5 continues and says it was by the wayside. Now, the seed that was thrown by the wayside was devoured. Not is devoured, as you look there, is the fowls of the air. Now, I love birds. I love watching birds. If I had better eyes, I'd watch more often. But out there we're at, we love, every once in a while we get those big, beautiful woodpeckers. And what do you call them? There's a particular name, and they have like red and white and black. Pileated. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. And in my wisdom, I cut down part of a tree when we first moved out there. And I cut it down there, actually, because I wanted the kids to have something to climb on. I used to love, we'd go to people's houses, and they had trees that would fall down, and they left them there because you could climb on them. It's just newsflash. The jungle gyms and everything are all right, but there's nothing like climbing on God's jungle gym. Let your kids climb on trees. You know, if you have to put a helmet on them, fine, but at least let them climb. Amen? I see so many parents say, get off that tree! Like it's just, you know, like they're just being normal kids. We're going to be kids. So anyway, just so happens, the woodpeckers love that place because there's critters inside there, and they peck in there and get the little snack. And so what this is probably ravens, like the Baltimore Ravens, bottom feeders. And the seeds fall by the wayside, and they're devoured. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, verse 6 says, and some fell upon a rock. Well, those that fell upon a rock, if you read, it says, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, it's a good thing when you're standing on the rock whose name is Jesus. But when your heart is described as a rock, not good. You know, some of you in this room, I'm not going to look at anybody or name names, but I'm sure a few of you in this room have been told your head is hard as a rock. And it's probably not just because you can take a thumping. It's probably because you're stubborn. See, that can be good, by the way. We've told, like I said, I'm not naming names or looking at anybody, but I've explained to this person I'm not naming that if you use your stubbornness for the good of God, you're stubborn on the word of God and stubborn for doing what's right, that's a good thing.
Amen.
But when your heart is hard as a rock, the seed just withers. Then I'm getting a little bit in the interpretation. We'll come back to that, though. In verse 7, it says, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked it. So when keeping away from the interpretation for just a second. How many of you ever tried to grow things and just found out you're not good at it? Yeah. Well, a lot of times the seed that we planted have been devoured by things like chipmunks and rabbits. Or it grows, but then the rabbits and other things come along and eat it before you can get the goods and that kind of thing. But we tried to grow some decorative grass at the end of our property, and it just got choked. I mean, that's just all that happened. It just got choked. So if you've ever tried to grow things, you can kind of identify with some of what we're reading here. Verse 8 says, and the other fell on good ground. Good ground. And now, again, in farming, there's preparation. Either you've prepared it or God's prepared it. You go up into Lake Erie where Jenny and I spent a few days, and it's a crazy thing, but the islands in Lake Erie, there's these little islands, and Johnson Island and some others, they were known as the islands of wine because for over 100 and some years, almost 150 years, they've been covered with vineyards. I would have never thought of that. The first time I realized it was when I was driving to New York and we went up through Pennsylvania by Lake Erie in near Erie, Pennsylvania. And I'm like, what is that smell? And my kids were like, wasn't me. I said, no, this is a good smell. And we rolled our windows down to smell this. It's just a wonderful smell. I think a millennium. I think it's going to smell like vineyards. And that's when I realized Erie, PA, and that area just covered with vineyards. Why? Because the ground was prepared by natural processes, and it's a very, I think, lime-rich soil, and that's why it grows so well. And folks, that's we're going to see in a minute, that's a reality when it comes to souls, too.
Yeah.
But on the good ground, what happens? Bears fruit. If you're planting the right kind of seed. We'll come back to that. So it is our privilege to sow the seed.
Amen.
We try to make it as easy on you as possible. We try to train you to know the Word, to know the Gospel. And then we give you the Gospel tracts free of charge. Brother John prints up his own tracts and provides them free of charge. We get them from Jack Chick. We have all this stuff free of charge. All you have to do is take them, and when you go out and you go to a restaurant or you talk to somebody for whatever reason, give them a tract. You know, once or twice a month, we have food delivered to the house. We always give a tip and a tract. If you don't give a tip, you can count on that tract being trashed.
Yeah.
And shame on you for not tipping anyway.
Yeah.
But if you tip, it should be about 20%. If you tip, especially if you're in a restaurant, someone's running back and forth, you should tip 20%. If not, you're a cheapskate. Shame on you. Yeah. Though all the waiters and waitresses are loving me right now. But it needs to be said. And you put a track with that. And they'll you're planting the seed.
Yeah.
Planting the seed. And that's a privilege. It shouldn't be drudgery. It's a privilege. The ground is the responsibility of the sinner who hears or takes the tract. You're not responsible for their response. They're responsible. You are only responsible and given the privilege of giving the seed, either by word of mouth or by gospel tract. So, verse 8 then closes and says, "And when he had said these things, he cried," listen to this, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, we discussed this in our Sunday school a couple minutes, but you got these little flaps off the side of your head. You ever notice how funny looking those are? I mean, they're funny looking. If you don't focus on it, you don't pay attention to it, but once you focus, you're like, look at them ears. Yeah, some of these guys have ears the size of my hand there, you know? They must have really good hearing.
Well, you know your ears grow to you.
And then as we grow older, they not only grow, but your ear lobes, they start to droop. And it's just a matter of fact, I saw a fella, I'd seen the picture of him when he was in his 20s, and I saw him in his 80s, and his earlobes were like wobble, 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 you know, wobbling around every movie made. That's just aging, it's gravity. But it's not really talking about the flapping here, it's not even talking about the ability to hear, as we talked about in Sunday school. Deaf people can hear. In the sense that the Bible is saying, it's to hear the word of the Lord, which can be not only audibly, but it can be visually. It can be by reading something. And now the blind can hear, and so they listen to audiobooks and things, but there's also Braille. And they use that. Whatever means God's Word gets into your mind. Do you have ears to hear? See, what we're dealing with today is there's just a dearth of people who really want to hear. And we can only open our ears. We can't pry open the ears of others. Now, you can pray for people and you put forth the effort, but if they won't hear, they won't hear. That's just somebody, you know, the old saying is you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I think Mark's the one that says, you know, you can hit him over the head and knock him out or whatever. Yeah, that's what you can use. And that's where the Lord comes in. The Lord will put salt in their oats and make them thirsty. But that's not our task. Beware of trying to take that matter in your own hands. So now we pick up in verse 9 and we go to school. And this time I'm going to have you read the odd verse.